Okay, guys, now we're moving on to our fifth question. And this time, Caleb will go first, followed by Rich and then Marcus. This question is about boards. And I'll just read it. It's been said that local decision makers do not reflect local demographics, that appointments to boards and advisory committees are not representative of all groups in the community. What would you propose be done about this claim?
It's a great question. Thank you. I would tend to be in agreement. I think that a lot of times friends of the majority get appointed to boards and the application process isn't transparent. The decision process and the reasoning behind those decisions isn't transparent either. When the commission is appointing someone to a board, they're reading a list of nominees and they're voting up or down on those nominees. And it's never clear to the citizens why that person was qualified and should be serving on that board. And when we're talking about, for instance, the law board, we're talking about a board that is, in essence, a taxing entity. And when there's no real discussion about who the commission is appointing to that taxing entity, then a lot of the citizens lose faith in their leadership. And so what I would do is implement an application process that was more stringent, narrow down that list of people, and whoever the commission decided on appointing, we would need a justification for that appointment, not simply a vote. And I would want to work with citizens and work with current members of the law board and commission and county commission to work out a process that provided that transparency and that accountability for the people who were appointed.
Thank you, Caleb. Rich, and then Marcus.
Thank you. I'm going to speak a little bit differently, I think, than Caleb did. I believe one of the biggest problems that we have, and I'm sure others who have been sitting in the seat that has to make the selections to provide at the commission will probably agree with this. I won't guarantee it, but there's a small pool of people that actually apply. And it makes it difficult to find people willing to serve on the multitude of boards that we have. Speaking as the airport board chair, we have very specific parameters for what our board makeup is, and finding those people wanting to be there as the chair is very difficult, as well as for our airport board director. So those are pieces of the pie or the puzzle that has to be addressed. I think one of the things is a lot of people don't realize how to apply for a board position. We try to make it as transparent as a community as we can to come, apply through the city website. Come on. And I think the biggest thing is finding a better way to seek out citizens that are willing to serve. And then also, have a little bit better discussion possibly about who the candidates are and why the mayor has picked those from the pool and is putting that forward to the commission. Those things together, I think, will help it. But at the same time, there are issues that come up because some of the boards have certain legal authority, and those are critical and much harder to fill. So thank you.
Sorry, Marcus, and then John.
Okay. Reading this question, it really makes me think back to my involvement with the Student Governing Association. And similarly, with being involved with Student Governing Association or SGA, there were committees that we could choose to be on as student senators. And so the process that I've seen that's worked really well has just been having a standardized application across the board. So there is no specific application for one committee versus another. It's all standard. And that's where the person can share more about their skills. They can rank what committees they'd want to be on. So instead of it just being a targeted one committee only application, they could rank their preference for, hey, if I can't get this top pick, what about the second or third one? But I think from there too, what I've seen that's worked out really well has just been having a mandatory discussion. There is no just appointing someone just to appoint someone. There's a discussion amongst these different committee leaders over why this person would be good here, why this person would be good there. And if not, then if having to do like a switcheroo or something, then again, just discussing that and having that conversation be available for others to be able to tap into, to review later if need be. I think those are just easy practices that can be introduced that would not impose too much more of the time related to to appointing those members. And I think with advertising as well, I think there can be more done with that either through social media or just through some other means to get more people to apply. Because when more people apply, then that can affect the application pool and the quality of those that want to be on those committees. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcus. John, followed by Monica.
Yes, I do agree with Rich. It is hard just to have people who apply and to get enough of them there to choose from. And also there are certain boards, Rich is on one, the airport board, you have the planning board. There are certain ones that need specific qualifications because of the topics that they're handling. So they can't necessarily just be open to everyone in the community. I think part of the process that could be done better is, for example, with the city, the mayor is going to, you know, propose a slate or a board member. They could give a little more background. This is why I'm choosing them. Here's the background. Give something for the other people in the commission to go on. I think part of the gist of this question is also talking about the demographics of the board, trying to get, you know, more people with different characteristics, mutable characteristics on the board. I think that's fine, although we don't want a quota type situation to come up with. And also we do need those specific qualifications. The other thing we need too is diversity on the board because of point of view. I've watched people who from minority groups get appointed to the board, to a board, but or get recommended, but because their philosophy was different, they didn't get selected. The last is when it comes to the law board. The people who vote for the law board members and appoint them realize that's part of your responsibility. If they vote to increase that police budget and it raises the city budget, you are still responsible. You appointed them or you voted for them. If you voted against them and you have a complaint about what they did, that's one thing. But when you vote for them and then still say, I have no control, you do have control. And that was one of the frustrations I've had currently and I had when I was on the commission.
Okay, thank you, John. Monica, and then Usha.
I agree with some of what has been stated already. I believe that our community boards do need to be more inclusive and representative of our community. And I do believe that they need to have qualified members on that board. Unfortunately, we had, I believe, somebody who was qualified as a planner on the planning board, but was not reappointed and was the only female on that board, was not a developer. I don't think that really represents the community well. And when you have somebody who's qualified, maybe they should be still in that position. But I also feel that some of this problem starts with the pool that we have. We expect people to come to our website to do these things. We need to be looking out at our community networks. There's a lot of community organizations that have tons of different network connections. Most times your answer was in only like two or three connections away. So we need to be reaching out to those community networks and saying, hey, we have this position open. We have these seats to fill. Help us do that. Maybe you know somebody who is qualified that they can come in here and do that. We do need to be finding ways, whether it be through our social media, through radio, public service ads, whatever it is, to make sure that we're getting the message out to more people so that we can get more qualified applicants.
Thank you, Monica. Usha, and then Aaron.
Yes, thank you. We have, I think, I don't know, maybe 20 boards, advisory boards, and each one has a different makeup. Some of them are more specific than others, and some of them have a certain number for a quorum and such. But it's always hard to get people to put on those boards. I think we always have good intentions to get as many people from diverse backgrounds or just bodies to be on these boards. And these are all volunteer positions. So we certainly don't want to hold them to this standard of that they can't meet. You want to make it accessible for them so that they can also meet at a time that's available for them. I've reached out to hundreds of people during my time in these 8 years to be on boards. And there's always a reason why they can't participate. Very legitimate reasons, but you have to go through like 10 people before you can find the one that wants to apply. Certainly we can make it more accessible, more approachable, figure out a path that works for them. We have the Historical Resources Advisory Board, the Planning Board, Downtown Board, Aggieville Advisory Board, all of these boards. And the commission definitely takes their input when we make our decisions. We rely on them for a lot of our processes. They do the legwork for this. They review the presentations. They have those conversations. The Social Services Advisory Board is a key instrumental one, which you know brings up like $400,000 to our budget. So we value what they have to offer. But again, it takes a lot of time. And we want to give as many ways as possible for people to apply. We are going to look at changing the interest form so it is more qualify-based. But these are conversations that are happening as we're speaking. Thank you.
Thank you, Usha. Aaron, and then Wynn.
Yeah, so the board selection process and like how that goes down is probably one of the least transparent, most confusing processes for the public. It's really a problem of when it comes, not just, I do agree, there's a lack of applicants on some of them, but for the law board, for example, there were over 18 applicants. And that wasn't, the way that we handle that is the mayor put somebody forward and we kind of, the rest of the commission served.
Oh no. Well, how about, well, there he is.
I'm back.
You're there. You're back, Aaron. Finish your answer.
Okay. So the mayor put somebody forward. The commission provides advice and consent if they're qualified or competent. And that is a limitation of what, how that choice is selected. And then more so even the 17 other people rarely get feedback that they either had a submission received or why they were not selected. So I think there's a lot of ways to improve the entire process. I agree. Really need some sunlight.
Oh no. Well, I think we're gonna, it, well, there you are again, Aaron. You want to finish your thought? Now you're muted.
We just need a better process.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, everybody, for being so gracious. Wynn, looks like you're the last response.
Two things at work here. You know, the first is the current process, I don't think it's that bad. It can be tweaked. But I don't think people fully understand it. And as Rich said, we don't get a lot of people that, you know, put in their names. Now, at least three of us here on the panel have been the mayor and have had to go through the process. And part of the things that frustrate me is of course, the city commission doesn't always give you feedback prior. They see the same things I do. It's there on the city website. So if you're hard over on having a certain person on there for a reason, you should share that with the mayor. And the other thing is the mayor just makes a recommendation. It's not appointments and there's no reason to rubber stamp them. And I've said that a number of times. And we've had a couple of spirited discussions, especially on the law board on appointments. And I think that's been, you know, clearly visible. As for the exact question here that says demographics, everybody should be appointed based on qualifications. We shouldn't be looking at boards and saying, oh, here's the demographics, as in age, as in race, as in color, as in gender. And I was very disappointed at a commission meeting when a commissioner stood up and said, I won't vote for this applicant because he's a man. That is not a reason for voting for or against an applicant. It's qualification based. And in fact, if you do that, it violates the city EO policy. Thank you.
Thank you, Wynn.